This is a Defocus Media production.
With artificial tears expertly formulated around your patient's specific needs, Refresh Lubricant Eye Drops has made it easier than ever to recommend the right relief for your patients with eye dryness. For digital device users, there's Refresh Digital, a fast-acting artificial tear that relieves eye dryness that may be caused by prolonged screen time. Refresh Reliva preservative-free is for patients with dry, sensitive eyes and can be used after LASIK and other eye surgeries. Finally, Refresh Optive Mega 3 preservative-free is for patients with eye dryness that may be due to meibomian gland dysfunction. What's more, all three products are patented formulas and feature hydrocell technology. So when it comes to recommending the right relief for your patients with dry, irritated eyes, look to Refresh. If you'd like to receive Refresh samples and resources for your practice, please contact Refresh Concierge at 833-733-7675. That's 833-733-7675.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the 2020 podcast, bringing clarity to optometry, business, and entrepreneurship. I am your host, Dr. Harbir Sayan. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me here to learn and to grow, guys. As always, I truly appreciate all the support. And I'm trying to support all of you out there as well, seeing amazing things happening on social media, through other channels. I'm seeing so many of our colleagues doing amazing things. So I'm trying, hopefully, to support everyone else the same way that everyone's been supporting me. So thank you for that. Today, we have an episode of Eye to Eye. And if you haven't heard one of these before, this segment is a short segment where it's just me sharing some lessons that I've learned and continuing to learn throughout my career and personal life. And usually, you know, we try to keep them short and to the point, but like I'm talking one-on-one with you here. Hopefully there's something that you'll find in these episodes that you can apply to your lives as well, whether it's your business, your personal, your career, whatever it is, your education. Today's episode, I don't know, I'll title it something along the lines of like criticism, constructive criticism, maybe something like that. There's probably two main lessons that I want to share with you, and they both came from one specific interaction or one short period of time very recently. You may know that a few months ago in December of 2021, I did a TED talk, a TEDx talk. And if you haven't seen it, I'll make sure the link is in the notes here, but please go check it out. I'm quite happy with the way it turned out. And, you know, we've been getting so much positive feedback on it and how everything's gone there. So I hope you enjoy that. I hope you find something valuable in that as well. It's about a 10-minute talk. So hopefully you got 10 minutes to spare to watch that. So when I was doing this preparation for this TED talk, took some preparing, some rehearsing, some very interesting things happened right before the talk. So I wanted to share that experience with you, and then I'll hopefully extrapolate the lessons that kind of learned from that experience. So the talk, if you do listen to it or if you've heard it, is a compilation of these short sort of philosophical videos and sound bites that I've created over the years that are related to eyes. So I started this video segment, YouTube video segment years ago that I call chiasma. And the name comes from the chiasm. The optic chiasm is in our brain. It's where the two optic nerves meet. And chiasm in general just kind of means where two different thought patterns or thought processes are coming together. And so for me in chiasma, it was eyes, of course, eye care, information and education, mixing with or connecting with philosophy. And if you've known me, you listen to me, like philosophy, you know, especially like Stoic philosophy and things like that. So combining, you know, philosophical quotes and theories and putting them together with our eyes. And I made about, I don't know, six or so of these videos, all about a minute and a half to 2 minutes long. And I took those plus a bunch of other content that I just kind of created specifically for the talk, and I melded it all together and in this 10-minute talk. And because I'd created the content before, I was fairly comfortable with it. And the organizers of the event, two very lovely people, husband and wife, George and Sheila Harjani, I rehearsed with them virtually just through Zoom and that type of thing. And I went over it very loosely, not very structured, not really strict about how I was coming across, but really just making sure that the words and the concepts were coming across properly. I knew, I felt that when I performed it in person, I'd be able to put that extra little oomph, that extra little je ne sais quoi, you know, that thing that makes it, you know, more presentable and comes across and resonates with the audience spoken in public. So I felt like I could channel that and get it out there. So through Zoom, I was just kind of casually, sorry, here's the talk, you know, let's go step by step. And they were happy with the way it was sounding. And I was starting to get more confident with, okay, you know, I've rehearsed this. I know the words, I've memorized it. I think it lands the way I want it to land. And then what they do for these, because they're bringing speakers in from all over, you know, when I did this TED talk, there were speakers from all over North America that were doing this. So everybody lands kind of week of, and what they do is they do in-person rehearsals just a few days before the actual TED talk, before the actual event. And so George had said to me, you know what, Harbir, your talk is great. I think you're good. Don't worry about it, but we do want you to come in and do an in-person rehearsal. The talk was on a Saturday. He said, come in on a Monday. I'm comfortable, confident that you'll be just fine. We won't need you to come back. We just kind of a formality. We just want you to come and perform or rehearse in person. Other speakers are probably going to need to come back on Wednesday or Thursday or something like that to rehearse one more time after they've made some changes. But for your talk, we should be okay. So I felt extra confident. I've got the backing of the organizer, a person who's put on multiple events like this. And he, again, fantastic guy. He speaks the truth and would tell me if I needed to change something dramatically. So I walked into the rehearsal on Monday with all sorts of confidence, like, I got this. This is no big deal. I've memorized the talk. George likes it. Sheila likes it. My wife likes it. Although that's probably not saying a whole lot. But actually, that's not true. Fortunately, this is a lesson that I've shared. I've been very fortunate that my wife tells me very straight up about, you know, where I need to improve on things and helps me to improve. So sorry about that, Pam. I give you a lot of credit for helping me be better. So back on track, I went to the rehearsal on the Monday and there was somebody else there, somebody I'd never met before, another organizer. And so I did it and I did it a little bit more like passionately. Sure, I tripped up a bit here and there. That was the first time I was actually rehearsing in person in front of someone I didn't know and somebody who'd never heard the talk before. So I went through and I felt pretty good. By the way, I put like an hour in the meter for my car, you know, parked the car out on the street. I was like, an hour is more than enough, right? So I go in, chit chat for 15, 20 minutes, do the talk. And gosh, I don't remember the name of this other person who was there. But after I was done the talk, he just sat there and looked at me and didn't say anything for a while. And then he said, why are you doing this talk? And I was a little taken aback, didn't know how to actually answer that question. Like, what are you actually trying to say in your talk? And then I got a little bit more stunned. I was stuttering like this saying, I mean, I think I conveyed that. I'm an optometrist and I care. I'm passionate about eyes. I care about eye care. I want people to think differently about their eyes. Yeah, I didn't really get that in your talk. And I almost fell over. I was like, I don't really know how I could have conveyed that any more passionately or clearly in the last 10 minutes that I was standing here talking to you. He's like, yeah, I just don't see the point. And so I'm still now 3 months later, as I'm talking to you guys here, still a little stunned and still a little speechless and didn't know. He's like, yeah, you know what? Let's do it again. We got to go through it a few times. Let's change some stuff. Let's make sure you got to have more passion. Like, I'm not getting any passion from you. It's just kind of monotone. And that word really floored me. I was like, monotone. I mean, I don't think I'm monotone in average conversation, let alone trying to do a presentation like this. And he's like, yeah, your sentences are too long. I kind of like drifted off. I just didn't really connect. Like, wow, I felt like I was being torn to shreds here instead of, as I thought, coming across here confidently. In fact, I was apparently not landing at all. So I wanted to, oh my God, I had all these different emotions flowing through my head at that moment, through my entire body at that moment. But I said, okay, I have to go put more money in the meter for my car. So it gave me an excuse to go outside, get some fresh air, think about it a little bit. I came back and I said, I mean, you basically took it all apart. Am I supposed to redo the whole thing? And 4 days, 5 days before this TED talk, and I've been rehearsing for the past couple of months. And so instead, what we did is I tried my hardest to not retaliate or respond with any kind of negative feelings and simply thought, okay, this guy is an organizer. He's done this before. He has many other, actually, in fact, he teaches these speakers. He kind of brings them up so they can create these talks and present them. So I had to take this man at his word that he was not trying to simply just break me down, but in fact, hopefully help me to be better. But man, I can't tell you the emotions that were running through me at that time. We went through it again and again and again. And every time it almost seemed like he was trying to make me look silly. Like he was, Harbir, more passion. Pretend like your children are about to be eaten by a bear. How much energy? And literally he said those words, about to be eaten by a bear. And just, I was like yelling through the walls about like trying to convey the passion. It felt a little strange, but his point was really trying to get me out of my comfort zone, because ultimately most people, there were hundreds of people in attendance for the TED Talk, but most people who see it, it's thousands of people who see it online. So you have to convey the energy through the camera. That was really the hard part. And anybody who does any kind of video type of stuff knows that you got to put like 10 times the energy just to come across as at the level that you'd like to come across on camera. So he was trying to get me to do that. Okay. And he said, so when are you coming back next? And here I was thinking, I only needed to put an hour in the meter so I could do this quickly and then go home and never see you. Well, won't see you again until Saturday. I put a couple hours in the meter. And now he's saying, well, when are you coming back next? We have to rehearse again. And I said, well, I work every day until the presentation. I don't think I'll be able to come in the hours that you guys have here that you're rehearsing. He's like, oh, you have to. You come in at 7 a.m. then instead of 8 or 9 or whatever time we start. So came back on Wednesday morning, like 7:30 in the morning, ready to prepare. And I really rehearsed like, ooh, all sorts of energy and oomph. And Pam was watching me rehearse this night after night. And she sometimes was like, I think that's a little too much. You're trying to come across as an optometrist, not as you're not trying to like really shake the crowd. You're trying to come across as a professional educator and so on. So I tried to take this man's criticism and use it constructively to improve the talk. And I also tried to add some things without dramatically changing the talk, tried to add some flavor I added to make it connect and resonate with the audience. I added a story in there, which actually wasn't in there before. And I thought maybe this adds a little extra level of drawing people in. And so I went back on Wednesday morning, and Jordan, Sheila, and this other man whose name I can't remember, and another new person that I had not met before was sitting there and seemed like a lovely lady, introduced myself. And they said, well, go ahead, floor is yours. So I walked out and I did the talk with all this extra energy, like 10 times what I had done it with on Monday, added the extra story in there, put all this extra flavor in there. And then when I was done, the man who was there on Monday sort of just kind of nodded his head, you know, seemed like he was content. Actually, I was quite surprised that he didn't have a whole lot to say. But the lady, the new person in the audience was like, what is the purpose of your talk exactly? And I just looked at her and I'm not really understanding what the point of this whole thing is. And I couldn't believe it. She was saying the exact same thing that this other guy was saying on Monday. And I was shattered. Honestly, at that point, I thought, I think it's so obvious that I'm an optometrist and eye doctor trying to convey that I really am passionate about eye care and I want people to think about their eyes differently. And she said, yeah, I'm really not getting that at all, actually. Holy moly. And I was just like staring at her again, same again, dumbstruck, just dumbfounded, awestruck. What's the right word? I don't know. I couldn't even say anything at that moment. Then they continued to sort of tear it down again and came to a point where they're like, they actually said, well, you know, it's too late for you to start from scratch. And I thought, start from scratch? Who? I didn't realize it was that bad that I would need to completely scrap the entire talk. And really, this whole experience, as you can maybe imagine, really shattered my confidence in this. I was going in on Monday morning thinking, I'm good. I just need to rehearse a couple more times so I don't stumble on a couple of these words. And I'm set. Here now, I am 2 days this week hearing from people who are apparently very experienced in this realm telling me that maybe I need to start from scratch. Just 3 days before I'm supposed to give this big talk, kind of this big moment in my life on one of the biggest stages, the most recognizable stages in the world. And just a few days before I'm supposed to give this talk, I'm hearing, I don't get at all what you're saying here. It's not resonating at all. And perhaps you need to start from scratch. Totally blew my mind. And I rehearsed a few more times. And ultimately, we landed on, okay, well, I guess you just have to give this talk and we'll have to see how it goes. So they gave me some more constructive criticism on, you know, cut this out, add this, useful things in the sense of like shorten some sentences. Some sentences are a little too long. Maybe cut them in half. Maybe do it this way. Do it that way. Reorganize it. 3 or 4 days before I'm supposed to give this presentation from memory, right? There's no screen to read from. I thought there was going to be some kind of prompter, teleprompter type of situation. It's all totally from memory. So also, I'm going to work that day and the next day and the next day. And of course, we have our family at home and I want to continue to be part of our home normal family life. So as you can tell, it's taken me 10 minutes to try to explain this to you. It was a shocking experience. So I went home and I had to sort of reevaluate my whole process and took some time to honestly meditate on it for a while. And I came to the conclusion that before Monday, I was happy with the talk. And before Monday, I felt confident with the content. And I had given this, put this content out into the world before for the most part. And I had received great feedback on it. Okay. Constructive criticism. Yes. In the past, I've received feedback on what landed, what didn't. I took out what the thoughts that I thought maybe weren't going to land when I was on stage. And I kept the things that I felt were good. So I reevaluated how I felt about it. And ultimately, I decided I am confident enough in the content and in my ability to present it that I'm going to stick with 95% of what I have. I changed a few small things. And on Saturday, I got on stage and I did the presentation. I did the talk. And thankfully, it landed very well. The crowd responded the way I was hoping they would respond, laughing at some points, kind of, you could hear some kind of the gasps almost at the points where I felt like I was hoping that would land. And of course, at the end, the applause, standing ovation, thankfully, really one of the best moments, feelings that I've had in my professional career to have this audience of hundreds of people standing there clapping and applauding you. Ultimately, very, very satisfied with the whole experience. So the point of this whole story that I'm telling you is there's really the two lessons that I felt were important for me to draw and hopefully share with you here. One of them is you have to be willing to accept criticism. And throughout my career over the years, I've tried to get myself more comfortable with accepting criticism. And I invite it when I'm working with somebody new in a group or in some other setting, you know, I'm working with our association and perhaps I'm working with other ODs, whatever it might be. One of the first things I tell people is be 100% frank with me, transparent with me, honest with me, just as blunt as you want to be, but tell me the truth. If you think something is completely dumb, I need to know. If you think I'm not pulling my weight, I need to know, right? And it hurts to hear that stuff sometimes. You know, the things that hurt the most are usually the things that are true. I think we kind of know this also. When somebody says something about you and it usually stings because it has some merit to it, right? Whether they're trying to hurt you or whether they're just trying to be constructive, the things that sting are the ones that are like, yeah, I know I'm actually falling short on that thing. The things that are really absurd, you can just laugh and be like, that guy is totally off his rocker. He does not know what he's saying. So a lot of what was being said to me initially, I was totally shocked, like, what in the world? And then the things that when he was being actually constructive, there were some things that hurt. I wanted to like, be like, no, and I'm the optometrist. I know what I'm talking about. But I had to think about the fact that he was coming from this perspective of an educator and a trainer in speaking, public speaking. So I had to take his advice and change the way I worded some things. And I do feel that it helped me present those concepts more cleanly, more succinctly, which is really important. The second concept, so the first one is accepting that criticism and really absorbing it. I took the time to go outside, get some fresh air. I took some time after the second meeting to meditate on it, to think about it. It's really important to accept that constructive criticism and absorb it and actually put it into use. The second part is eventually I decided I had to stick with what I had. I was confident enough in what I had done that I had to stick with it. And that is sort of the sticking with your guns and knowing yourself and trusting yourself enough. I think I talked about this a little bit in the activation energy, the eye to eye episode there, where I was talking about just kind of having the confidence to stick with the things that you know you're good at, to keep building and keep getting better. And in this case, having the confidence that what you have done is good, you know you're good at the thing that you're trying to do, so you can actually step out in front of people and do it with confidence. If I didn't have that confidence, I would have been shattered after those two experiences. And I would not have been able to step out on stage and present it with the energy that it needed to be presented with. So taking that constructive criticism, I think, is really, really the key takeaway from this lesson, this experience. And I wanted to share that with you. If you don't already invite constructive criticism, I encourage you to do it. It's one of those things where, in general, the way to grow and to be better is to push your limits, push your boundaries, step out of your comfort zone. When you invite criticism, you're definitely stepping out of your comfort zone because somebody's going to tell you that there's something that you need to do better. In your mind, you might be thinking, I'm already good at this. But you can't learn, what was the quote I read today? Oh gosh, I'm going to forget it now. But ultimately, you can't learn something new if you think you already know it, right? And when somebody tells you up front, straight to your face, that you're not good at this thing or this thing is not working the way you think it is, it's going to make you think about it differently. It's going to make you want to learn how to do it better. So invite that constructive criticism. And then when you've heard it, absorb it, include it into your strategy and your process, but keep the things that you know that you're good at, that you're confident in, so you can just put out the best possible product ultimately. And the product means your service, the way you treat your patients, whether your sales, how you treat your customers, whatever it is, it's ultimately going to help you be the best at all of that. So I really wanted to share that experience with you. It really was, it rattled me. It changed a lot of the way I thought about this whole process. It was really, really an interesting experience that I wanted to share with you. And I hope you find something useful in there that will hopefully help you improve something that you do in your life as well. Again, if you haven't heard the TED Talk, please check it out. The link will be in the notes here. It's on YouTube. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well. And as always, if you found some value, please do share this. Take a screenshot, throw it up on your Instagram story, put it on LinkedIn, whatever you can. I really appreciate all the support. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Eye to Eye, and I will see you guys in the next full-length episode very, very soon.